Guys, if you would, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And we're going to be in 10 through 16, but I'm going to read 16 verses, okay? Principles of marriage. Now, concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband, and let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does, and likewise the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. But I say this as a concession, not as a commandment, for I wish that all men were even as myself. But each one has his own gift from God, and one in this manner and another in that. But I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it's good for them if they remain even as I am, but if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry, for it's better to marry than to burn with passion. Now to the married, I command, yet not I, the Lord. A wife is not to depart from her husband, but even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and the husband is not to divorce his wife. But to the rest, I, not the Lord, say, if any brother has a wife that who does not believe and she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he's willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. But the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise your children would be unclean, but now they are holy. But if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. For how do you know, a wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, a husband, whether you will save your wife? Remember, we've entered a new section in 1 Corinthians. The first six chapters were about Paul addressing concerns, and the rest is going to be about Paul answering specific questions that these group of folks had. And just from our first study, you can just take these words right here, rendering affection due. Remember, Paul used the word touch, and he used it in a sense of sexual relations. Paul says, I agree with you. Okay, it's not good for a man to touch a woman. And what he meant was in the confines of sexual immorality, but in the confines of the marriage relationship, he says, you know what, it's good that you do touch your wife. She deserves the affection that should be rendered. And as we have looked at this in just two studies, I pray that what we have seen is our culture's view of marriage is radically different than God's view of marriage. Okay? See, it's not good to hold back affection from our wives. Every wife has affection due to her. And men, we need to remember, and I just pray you would grab a hold of this Proverb 18:22. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and attains favor from the Lord. God blessed us with the wives we have. And men, those of you who are single, I would encourage you to pray for your spouse wherever she is and whatever she's doing. I would. Pray for her. You have no idea what she might be getting caught up in. I believe prayer is so important. Also would keep us back from getting caught up in some things maybe we don't need to get caught up in. Paul says, don't hold back affection. See, guys, the Lord's lifting up the marriage from the sludge at Corinth, because remember, it was a very sexually immoral place. In Greek culture, a Greek may have at least three wives. One was a workhorse. Okay, one took care of the kids. And then maybe one was for the other. Remember, there was also the temple of Aphrodite there, and these guys would go outside of the marriage to meet those relationships or to meet that need. See, there's a mutual responsibility for each party. Sex is not just the husband's privilege or the wife's duty. It is to be enjoyed by both. It's 100%, 100%. And then Paul said, likewise, wives, don't hold back affection that is due. Remember, Satan's great plan for marriage is to destroy it. And when it comes to sex, he encourages sex outside of marriage and discourages sex inside of marriage. He accomplished either, and it's a victory for him. Now, here's the thing about affection being rendered. It's more than just physical. It's also as emotional as well, and I wanted to get that point across too. It's coming alongside. It's helping. It's unloading the dishwasher. It may be unloading. It may be picking up dirty clothes. I was single for a long time, and you guys know that, and I'm not going to bore you with my poor, sad story. But I had to pick up after myself. That's just the way I'm wired. I can't help it. My brother, on the other hand, man, I'd go in after him, and his underwear would be in the floor. There'd be water up on the mirror. The sheet would be thrown back. The rug would be like, does it bother you to see a bathroom rug like this? It bothers me. Okay, it messes with my head. I can't deal with that. I'm like, why did you not put that back? Does it bother you when drawers are being pulled out and they're not pushed back? That freaks me out. I don't like that. Or to have the clothes kind of, it's closed, but the clothes are kind of hanging out. That gets to me. That's the way I'm wired. My poor wife. Here's my thing, man. As men, man, let's come alongside and let's help out. Let's push some drawers in. Let's pick some dirty underwear up. Let's unload the dishwasher. Let's do some things. Let's listen. Let's hold a hand. Let's say, you know what? You look pretty today. Okay? It will make the marriage better. The second study, remember this. Paul said, it is a gift from God. If you're married today, it's a gift from the Lord. If you're single today, remember from last week, it is an incredible gift from God. The word gift he used in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, God gifts you for this season in life. If we're married today, what an incredible gift the Lord has given us, and He will gift us to honor Him in that season. If you're single today, it's an incredible gift. Enjoy it. I love Psalm 128, and I pray that as we look at marriage, we would look at it as a gift, not a bummer. Listen to what the psalmist said in verse 1 through 4. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Married folks, let's look around our table as the Lord has set for us and see the bounty. What an incredible blessing. I can remember being single and eating by myself. It didn't really bother me because I was hungry. I wasn't going to miss a meal. I had no problem going to a restaurant and going and getting something to eat because, you know what? I'm not going to let that keep me. Now, I wouldn't necessarily go to the movies by myself, but I sure would eat by myself. But I've now that the Lord has gifted me and blessed me, it is such a blessing to come home and eat with my precious wife and even my son who gets crud all over him and all over the place. And nearly every meal, he will spill something. Okay? It's still a blessing. And I was thinking, okay, I'm not going to think that. I'm not going to tell you that. I pray that we would see the blessing that the Lord has bestowed upon us if we're married today. What an incredible... I can't imagine what it would be like to be Philip and Barbara's age or David and Pat's age and to see their kids have kids. What an incredible... Because grandparents love their grandkids, do they not? You're like, who are these people? That's what you think. Who are these people? I remember my mom and dad, I'm like watching them with Jonathan. I'm like, where did you come from? You know, that's not how I grew up. Oh, look, he's doing, oh, that's so good. Oh, what? No. Look at that. You know, what an incredible gift. If you're single today, it's a gift from the Lord. And especially when you're walking with the Lord. And I pray, guys, you would use your singleness. Man, you can go anywhere in the world right now where the Lord leads. You're free. You don't have the responsibilities that I have. It's a gift. Don't waste your time like I did in all my 20s just wishing I was married. And I wish those years away. Enjoy this time. Trust the Lord and in His perfect time, and He will bring the right person at the right time. Guys, whatever state we're in, married or single, remember it's a gift from the Lord. And it takes the Lord to make both states work. If we're married, it takes the Lord to work. If we're single, it takes the Lord to work. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Allow the Lord to work, okay? One last thought before we dive into today's study. The Lord knows what He's doing, and we need to trust Him if we're married today. And let's trust Him with our marriage today. If we're single, let's trust Him with being single. He knows what He's doing. He knows what He's doing. Trust Him, okay? It's just going to be a blessed time, I assure you. Listen to these words. I'm feasting on the living bread. I'm drinking at the fountainhead. And he that drinketh, Jesus said, shall never thirst again. What? Never thirst again? No, never thirst again. What? Never thirst again? No, never thirst again. And he that drinketh, Jesus said, shall never thirst again. Trust the Lord. So let's look at this. Keep your marriage vows. Let's look at verse 10 and 11. And we're going to be looking at what's a biblical divorce. Now to the married I command, yet not I, the Lord, a wife is not to depart from her husband. And even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And if a husband... And a husband is not to divorce his wife. Remember, Paul is answering certain questions. He's already answered the benefits of being married and single and the sexual relations within the confines of marriage. The words now to the married in verse 10 indicates Paul is answering another question the folks at Corinth had. Here Paul's addressing marriages where both partners are Christians. See, these guys were wondering if it would be more spiritual to be single. And so what they were contemplating is stepping out of their marriages. Paul's now answering this question, and he's giving them reasons. Okay, let's look at one of the reasons that one could get divorced. Number one is sexual immorality. Jesus said this in Matthew 19, verse 1 through 10. Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these sayings that he departed from Galilee. And he came to the region of Judea beyond Jordan, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. Then the Pharisees also came to him, testing him and saying, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? Now understand something. Oh man, the Lord has done so much to elevate. He has done way more than women's rights has ever done. Now let's understand that. Because in this culture, a guy could just divorce his wife for a cold cup of coffee. That's how it worked. That's why I said, for just any reason. And he answered and said to them, have you not read, he who made them in the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore what God has joined together, let no man separate. Then they said to him, why then did Moses give a command, a certificate of divorce, to put her away? And he said to them, Moses, because the hardness of your hearts permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. And his disciples said to him, in such case of the man with his wife, if that's such the case, a man with his wife, it's better for him not to marry. And before I go on, I just got to be honest with you. As I looked at these 16 verses and prayed over them and looked at them, it just breaks my heart. Because the Lord's intention was that no one never have to go through that. Okay? Understand that. That God's desire was two people become one flesh. God's desire was that was to be such an incredible experience. And I have friends that have had to go through a divorce. And I know friends of mine whose parents went through a divorce. And it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. So when I read these, this section and I think about it, man, I'm just broken when I think about it. You know, if we're here today, I want us to understand something. If we're married today, and we've been blessed to be married and never have to go through these set of circumstances, it was not because of some formula. It was because of God's grace. Okay? That's it. God's grace. And I pray, Lord, if someone has gone through these set of circumstances, I pray that person would hang on God's grace as well. It's never about what, it's just the grace of the Lord. See, Jesus was very clear, in fact. He was so clear on this subject. His disciples said, if such is the case of man with his wife, it's better not to marry. I want you to listen to what David Guzik said. Jesus said, the one who divorces for invalid reasons and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery, Matthew 9:9. When Jesus' disciples understood how binding the marriage covenant was and how it could not be broken in sight of God for just any reason, they responded, if such is the case with man and his wife, it's better not to marry. They understood Jesus perfectly, and so should more people today before they enter. It's a covenant of marriage. It's serious business. You single guys, I want you to understand this. It is serious business because this is what you are opening your heart up to. You're opening your heart up to some incredible joys, but you will also open your heart up to some incredible pain. You've got to know this is what the Lord's calling you to do. You're trusting this person with everything. Everything. You know, I thought, I wanted so desperately to be married when I was 20 and 21. And I thank God for His grace that, you know what, He didn't allow it to happen until I was 36. I thank God for that. Because I would have been clueless what I really wanted. I was involved with somebody when I was 30, and I was engaged to somebody, and I have no doubt if I would have married that person, I would be divorced today. I have no doubt. It might have been a biblical situation. It may not have been a biblical situation. You know, at that point, it doesn't matter. I still have to go through that. And I still have to deal with the pain of that. When two people become one flesh, I mean, I thought the best picture I've ever seen of that is when a guy took some glue, and Elmer's glue, and put here on one paper and here on one paper, and he stuck it together and he let it dry a little bit, and then he pulled it apart, and there was remnants on both sides. Someone said that... I don't remember what someone said, so never mind. Something about a violin and strings. Okay? Something about a violin and strings. Here's what Paul is saying very clearly from the Lord in these words. If she does not depart, or husband is not to divorce his wife. The Lord understands it can get difficult and life happens. We live in a fallen world. The Lord understands that. A Christian couple may split up for reasons that do not justify a biblical divorce, such as a misguided sense of spirituality, poverty, abuse, misery, conflict, general unhappiness. Paul recognizes that one might depart in such circumstances. Paul's not encouraging the departing. He just understands. But they cannot consider themselves divorced with the right to remarry because their marriage has not been split up for reasons of a biblical divorce. If you're in an abusive situation, the Lord totally understands. Remove yourself from that situation. You know, life happens. Things happen. Here's the point. We got to trust the Lord. Allow Him to work. Allow Him to move. And you know what? I know that sounds so Sunday school. I know that. But that's what we have to do. Now here's another thing that I've seen in our culture. Usually it seems like when someone decides that this is not what they want to do anymore, they think that there's been a better option. So therefore, it usually renders it what? A biblical divorce, if you choose to go that route. Right? Still heartbreaking. Man, as we were singing, I'm thinking about this stuff and praying about it, and I can remember about 9 years ago, I was teaching out of Romans chapter 1, and it was basically on the subject if a certain sexual preference was biblically correct. And my heart behind the whole thing is, as I was getting and I was going on that, and there was this girl sitting right here, she just closed her Bible, she didn't want to hear it. But she didn't allow the Lord to get to the very end of this. Because the very end of that study was, is it not heartbreaking to see if someone chooses that lifestyle, what awaits for them? It's heartbreaking. Now, to the married I command, yet not I, the Lord, a wife is not to depart from her husband, but even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and a husband is not to divorce his wife. Just one more word for us married folks. When the going gets tough in marriage, hang in there. Hang on to the Lord. Trust Him. Trust the Lord. Proverbs 3, verse 1 through 8. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days, long life, and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. At the end of the day, it's God's grace. Was thinking of a friend I hung out with yesterday who has recently gone through these type of set of circumstances. And I mean, it broke my heart. But here's the thing. I would never turn my back on this brother or a sister that has gone through these circumstances, because you know what they need? They need people to walk beside them and love them and encourage them, because circumstances happen. I heard someone who went through a divorce talking about a blended family. He said, well, that's what happened to our family. It stuck it in a blender, you know. And it's like, I never heard that before, and I pray that, you know, I don't have to go through that. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Paul has an answer now for the believer married to an unbeliever, hence the words, but to the rest. So the believers there, they thought, well, you know, it could be more spiritual if I was single and this and that, so can I get out of this? Paul says, no, you need to stick this thing out. But then there was another group of folks there. To the rest, I, not the Lord, say, if any brother has a wife who does not believe and she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And if a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he's willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but now they are holy. If Christian couples in Corinth, who thought they would be more spiritual if they were to get divorced, then what would a person who is a believer think if they were married to an unbeliever? God can't be glorified if I'm married to an unbeliever. That's what they were thinking. Paul says, hang in there, because the Lord is doing an awesome work. Sanctified in this context does not mean an unbeliever is saved because they're married to a believer. It simply means that they are set apart for a special working of the Holy Spirit since they are married to a believer. Simply meaning this, you know what, there's a good chance that they're going to get saved. And that's what matters at the end of the day, is it not? That person come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now, I know that that's a tough set of circumstances as well, but what the Lord is saying, He's trying to give some hope here and some encouragement here. That, you know what, I didn't just leave you in this set of circumstance. I want you to understand that I'm going to work in these set of circumstances. Because if you as a believer, a Spirit-filled believer, are honoring me in these set of circumstances, I'm going to move over here. Trust the Lord. And not only that, think about this as well. Your kids are seeing such an incredible godly example. And they too are going to get saved when they come to the age of accountability. There's a good chance. The Lord's doing an awesome work. Hang in there. I couldn't think of a better picture in Scripture than in Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 through 14, when Paul said this, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out to the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to the rest that my chains are in Christ. and most of the brethren in the Lord have become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Paul looked at his circumstances as, I'm having an opportunity to share the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you are a believer, I would definitely discourage you if you knew that this person was an unbeliever to get married with them. I would discourage you in doing that, because you're setting yourself up for some very frustrating circumstances. You know, this you know, what did I, when I was here, this evangelism dating or whatever, you know, I'm going to date this person, I'm going to get saved. Not a wise course. Okay, I mean, I kind of had those thoughts before, you know. Well, you know, don't go there. All right, it's not wise, you know. But if you find yourself in those set of circumstances, I want you to understand that there's hope. I can, several years ago, when I was a single guy and I was at a different fellowship or whatever, there was this lady, and her husband was, not a believer, and on top of that, her husband stepped outside of the confines of the marriage relationship. And but the Lord told her to hang in. And everybody else was like, you need to get out. And you know what? She had good reasons to get out. But she hung in there. And here's the end of the story. The Lord worked in such a wonderful way and restored. And that dude ended up getting saved, and they have a wonderful marriage today. That's not to say that that always happens. Okay? Folks make choices. But I know that when I find myself in a set of circumstances, if I know that the Lord has said, hang in there, man, I'm going to hang on to Him, even though it may be tough. Remember, not only an awesome work in an unbelieving spouse, but in the kids as well. Think about the ministry to the kids, seeing a godly parent in the home, seeing Christ in the home, the Lord walking with these little ones until the age of accountability when they need to make a decision. The Lord saying, hang on, I'm doing an awesome work in your family. But let me ask you a question. If you're a believer today in any family, is He not doing an incredible work? I am fully convinced that if you are a Christian and you are surrounded by a family of non-believers, man, what did Joseph, how did Joseph look at his circumstances? You remember Joseph's situation? His brother rips him, throws him in the well, right? Sells him, and then Joseph what? Ends up being the number one dude in Egypt. And I said dude, okay. His brothers, there's a famine in the land, his brothers, and then you know how it all unplays. He finally says, hey, I'm Joseph. And they're, oh, forgive us. And his heart was this, don't worry about it, the Lord sent me ahead to save you. Did we ever think of things like that? When I look in my family and I see that certain folks need to get saved, man, that spurs me on. It spurs me on to share the Lord, but not only share the Lord, to pray that He would work in me to reflect Him. So hang in there. Verse 15 through 16, the second reason for a biblical divorce is the person just leaves. If an unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. What can you do? You can't make someone love you, can you? A good friend of mine, he didn't get married till he was like 26 years old. This is the only girl he was ever involved in. And they stayed together for like 4 years. She had a little boy. And that's the only dad that little boy has ever known. Seriously. And he looked at this guy as his dad. And she just, she told him, well, hey, I don't think she's saved, so pray for her. But anyway, she was picking and choosing and twisting scripture and said, well, you know, it says not to be yoked with unbelievers, but I think that that also means, you know, if your personality doesn't click. Really, where did you pull that out of? But here's the thing. And I think this pastor gave him the best advice because he was holding on, he was holding on. He said, you know what? You can't make her love you. Can't make her love you. Granted, he's still dealing with the pain of having to go through those circumstances. At least he's got a clear conscience about it, right? The unbelieving spouse should depart. The Christian's not held under bondage to the marriage covenant. They're free to remarry because the Lord recognizes, you know what, it's a valid reason. Okay. Verse 16. Hope. That's how we started this service this morning, was hope. Because I know this is a heavy-duty subject. Okay, I get that. And I understand that. But I pray that what has taken place here today is we would understand how much the Lord loves us and how much the Lord has for us. That whatever circumstances we've ever found ourselves in within the confines of that, the Lord has always said, you know, my desire for you is one flesh, one purpose, one heart. I pray we would get that. He goes on to say, for how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband, or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? Now, I understand he's talking to the folks that's married to the unbeliever and the believer. But he's giving them hope. See, we have no idea, here's the point, what the Lord will do. If someone is married to an unbeliever, there's hope that the Lord is working. No one knows but the Lord how it will all play out in the end. And that's what we need to remember. We don't know how it will play out in the end. Whatever circumstance we may find ourselves in, we need to hope in the Lord. Guys, and that's what we're going to leave with today. Hope. If single today and struggling with it, hope. If married today and struggling with it, hope. If having to go through the pain of divorce and struggling with it this morning, hope. Hope. Because that is what we have in our Lord, is hope. And I pray we would grab a hold of that. And you know what, for folks that may have had the cookie-cutter experience with the white picket fence and the two-car garage and the 2.8 kids and this and that, it's by God's grace. You know what, the best thing that we could ever do is walk alongside of folks who have had to go through maybe the pain of that type of circumstance. Not look down, but encourage, pray with, listen to, not point out what should have. We wasn't there. We don't know what it was like. Okay? Point them to the Lord. If we're today in a marriage and we're struggling, hope in the Lord. Trust that the Lord's going to work on that blockhead. I'm talking to men. Okay? I'm talking to men. I'm talking to myself. You know? Because I think men have the greater responsibility. I'm not going to shy away from that. Called to be the priest in the home. Called to love our wives as Christ loved the church. I don't even think about it, that whole submission subject, because I believe if the Lord's working in me, He'll work out that other thing. I need to take care of my responsibilities. And He'll do what He needs to do in my heart. So let's finish with hope again. Psalm 71, verse 1 through 6. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be my strong refuge to which I may resort continually. You have given the commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. By you I've been upheld from birth. You are He who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually of you. We're going to celebrate communion today. And we're celebrating the hope that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that whatever we may have been dragging in 5 minutes before we came in here, maybe we've been dragging something in for a week, maybe we've been dragging something in for a very long time, we would just let that thing rest today. That we allow the Lord to minister to us in a unique way and bring healing and encouragement. That we would allow Him to comfort as only He knows how to comfort, because He's really the only one that ever understands. that we accept that we're His kids and we're covered in the blood of the Lamb. Hope. 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 Hope.